Happy Sunday. My name is Jim DeJunis. I'm reading to you for the North Carolina Reading Service. The name of our program is Reflections. The content of our program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. We'll be reading for the next half hour from the book of Genesis in the Old Testament of the Holy Bible. We'll also do a little reading from Jesus Calling, written by Sarah Young. And we begin, as we do all Sundays, with a little prayer. Heavenly Father, as we are in the middle of January 2021, we ask for your continued blessings upon ourselves and our communities, our cities, our states, our great nation, and of course this world. Lord, 2020 was a tough time for many people. We ask for a renewed hope, a renewed confidence. And Lord, may we use the words spoken today to help us with that hope, because true hope, the only real hope, is in your Son, Jesus, our Lord and Savior, with whom we believe in and embrace and look forward to meeting one day. And we ask this in his holy name. Amen. Well, Sarah Young teaches us on this 10th day of January that every time you affirm your trust in me, you put a coin into my treasury. Thus, you build up equity in preparation for days of trouble. I keep safely in my heart all trust invested in me, with interest compounded continuously. The more you trust me, the more I empower you to do so. Practice trusting me during quiet days when nothing much seems to be happening. Then when storms come, your trust balance will be sufficient to see you through. Store up for yourself treasure in heaven through placing your trust in me. This practice will keep you in my peace. A couple verses to support this. First is from Psalm 56, verses 3 and 4. When I am afraid, I will trust in you, in God whose word I praise. In God I trust, I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? And then Matthew chapter 6, verses 20 and 21. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Wow, beautiful words. Well, as promised, we are going to start up with chapter 13 in the book of Genesis. We got through a few chapters last week, and we had just been introduced to Abram. Abram becomes Abraham after he continues to become righteous in God's eyes. God renames him. And we're excited to be studying him for these next several chapters, and we learn more and more about the salvation that God has promised. So if you recall, when we were studying Noah, there was a covenant made between God and Noah and all mankind and the earth at that time, that God would never flood the earth to destroy the earth or mankind. There's a new covenant that's being introduced with Abram and Abraham, and we'll learn more about that today. So chapter 13. So when Abram went up from Egypt to the Negev with his wife and everything he had, and Lot went with him as well. Abram had become very wealthy in livestock and in silver and gold. From the Negev, he went from place to place until he came to Bethel, to the place between Bethel and Ai, where his tent had been earlier, and where he had built his first altar. There Abraham called on the name of the Lord. Now Lot, who was moving about with Abram, also had flocks and herds and tents. But the land could not support them while they stayed together, for their possessions were so great that they were not able to stay together. And quarreling arose between Abram's herdsmen and the herdsmen of Lot, the Canaanites and Perizzites, also living in the land at the time. So Abram said to Lot, "Let's not have any quarreling between you and me, or between your herdsmen and mine, for we are brothers. Is not the whole land before you? Let's part company. If you go to the left, I will go to the right. If you go to the right, I will go to the left." Lot looked up and saw that the whole plain of the Jordan was well watered, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt toward Zoar. This was before the Lord had destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. So Lot chose for himself the whole plain of the Jordan and set out toward the east. The two men parted company. Abram lived in the land of Canaan, while Lot lived among the cities of the plain in pitched tents near the town of Sodom. Now the men of Sodom were wicked and were sinning greatly against the Lord. The Lord said to Abram, after Lot had parted from him, lift up your eyes from where you are and look north and south and east and west. All the land that you see I will give to your offspring forever. I will make your offspring like the dust of the earth, so that if anyone could count the dust, then your offspring could also be counted. Go walk through the length and the breadth of the land, for I am giving it to you. So Abram moved his tents and went to live near the great trees of Mamre at Hebron, where he built an altar to the Lord. Chapter 14. At this time, Amraphel, king of Shinar, Arioch, king of Elasar, and Kedorlaom, king of Elam, and Tidal, king of Goam, went to war against Bera, king of Sodom, Birshach, king of Gomorrah, Shinab, king of Admah, and Shinabar, king of Zemmor, and the king of Bela. All these latter kings joined forces in the valley of Siddim. For 12 years they had been subject to Kedorlaom, but in the 13th year they rebelled. In the 14th year Kedorlaom and the kings allied with him and went out and defeated the Raphites in the Ashtoreth Carmith, the Zizites in Ham, the Ammonites in Sheva Karamph, and the Horites in the hill country of Seir, as far as the El Paran near the desert. Then they turned back and went to En Mishpat, and they conquered the whole territory of the Amalekites, as well as the Amorites who were living in Hezron Tamar. Then the king of Sodom, the king of Gomorrah, the king of Admah, and the king of Zeboim, and the king of Bela marched out and drew up the battle lines in the valley of Siddim against Kedorlaom, the king of Elam, Tidal, the king of Goam, and Ephraim, king of Shinar. Now the valley of Siddim was full of tar pits, and when the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah fled, some of their men fell into them, and the rest fled to the hills. Four kings seized the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their food, and then they went away. They also carried off Abram's nephew Lot and his possessions, since he was living in Sodom. One who escaped came and reported this to Abram the Hebrew. Now Abram was living near the great trees of Mamre, the Amorite, a brother of Eshcol and Aner, all of whom were allied with Abram. When Abram heard that his relative had been taken captive, he called out the 318 trained men born in his household and went in pursuit as far as Dan. During the night, Abram divided his men to attack them, and he routed them, pursuing them as far as Heba, near north of Damascus. He recovered all the goods and brought back his relative Lot and his possessions together with the women and the other people. After Abram returned from defeating Kedorlaom and the kings allied with him, the king of Sodom came out to meet him in the valley of Sheba. That's amazing. Here's Abraham plus 318 men just beat four other kings and their men when five kings couldn't take those four kings. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of God Most High, and he blessed Abram, saying, blessed be Abram by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who delivered your enemies into your hands. Then Abram gave him a tenth of everything. The king of Sodom said to Abram, give me the people and keep the goods for yourself. But Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have raised my hand to the Lord, God and Most High, creator of heaven and earth, and I have taken an oath that I will accept nothing belonging to you, not even a thread or a thong of a sandal, so that you will never be able to say, I made Abram rich. I will accept nothing but what my men have eaten, and the share that belongs to the men who went with me, to Anar, Eshcol, and Amor, and to Mamre. Let them have their share. Chapter 15. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. So keep in mind, God, here's Abram, who, again, defeated this miraculous war, not in great detail here, but 318 men versus four other kingdoms. He defeated them, but he gave the right credit. The credit was to God. God made him successful. God makes each of us successful. Now, sometimes we have failures, and that failure may lead to success. And we don't see that plan. God sees it. God understands it. God's creator of it. So what we should always do is give thanks. We should always be appreciative of God in all that we received, good or bad. And Abram did the right thing here. He did not take credit. He gave credit to the Lord. And here is we meet Melchizedek. Melchizedek, some say, was a was Jesus Christ. He comes and makes the appropriate reference to God. And here Abraham, Abram, who's very wealthy at this point, he takes 10% of everything he has and just gives it to Melchizedek because he understood that he was of God. Chapter 15. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abram said, O sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless, and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, You have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him, This man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir. He took him outside and said, Look up at the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, So shall your offspring be. Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. Remember, we talked about righteousness last week as it dealt with Noah. Noah believed God. He loved God with his whole heart. And here is now Abram, now believing God and loving God with his whole heart. He knew God was a man of his word. He knew that God, when God said something, God means something. And he accepted it and believed it with his whole heart. And that's where his righteousness came from. He also said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land and to take possession of it. But Abram said, O sovereign Lord, how can I know that I will gain possession of it? So the Lord said to him, Bring me a heifer, a goat, and a ram, each 3 years old, along with a dove and a young pigeon. Abram brought all these to him, cut them in two, and arranged the halves opposite each other. The birds, however, he did not cut in half. Then the birds of prey came down on the carcasses, but Abram drove them away. As the sun was setting, Abram fell into a deep sleep, and a thick and dreadful darkness came over him. And then the Lord said to him, Know for certain that your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own, and they will be enslaved and mistreated for 400 years. But I will punish the nation they serve as slaves, and afterwards they will come out with great possessions. You, however, will go to your fathers in peace and be buried at a good old age. In the fourth generation, your descendants will come back here, for the sin of the Amorites had not yet reached its full measure. So here's God prophesying to Abraham that his people will eventually go to Egypt for 400 years to be slaves, to be mistreated. And that's when Moses comes into the picture. So we pick up with verse 17. When the sun had set and the darkness had fallen, a smoking fireplace with blazing torch appeared and passed between the pieces. On that day the Lord made a covenant with Abram and said, To your descendants I give this land from the river of Egypt to the great river, the Euphrates, the land of the Kenites, Kenizzites, Kadmites, Hittites, Perizzites, Raphites, Amorites, Canaanites, Girgashites, and Jebusites. Chapter 16. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children, but she had an Egyptian maidservant named Hagar. So she said to Abram, The Lord has kept me from having children. Go sleep with my maidservant. Perhaps I can build a family through her. Abram agreed to what Sarai said. So after Abram had left living in Canaan 10 years, his wife took her Egyptian maidservant, Hagar, and gave her to her husband to be his wife. He slept with Hagar, and she conceived. When she knew she was pregnant, she began to despise her mistress. Then Sarai said to Abram, You are responsible for the wrong I am suffering. I put my maidservant in your arms, and now she knows she is pregnant. She despises me. May the Lord judge between you and me. Your servant is in your hands, Abram said. Do with her whatever you think best. So Sarai mistreated Hagar, so she fled from her. The angel of the Lord found Hagar near a spring in the desert. It was a spring that was beside the road to Shur. And he said, Hagar, servant of Sarai, where have you come from, and where are you going? I am running away from my mistress Sarai, she answered. Then the angel of the Lord told her, go back to your mistress and submit to her. The angel added, I will so increase your descendants that they will be too numerous to count. The angel of the Lord also said to her, you are now with child, and you will have a son. You shall name him Ishmael, for the Lord has heard your misery. He will be a wild donkey of a man. His hand will be against everybody, and everyone's hand will be against him, and he will live in hostility towards all his brothers. She gave him this name to the Lord who spoke to her. You are the God who sees me, for she said, I have now seen the one who sees me. This is what the well was called, Beer Lal Roy. It is still there between Kadesh and Bered. So Hagar bore Abram a son, and Abram gave him the name Ishmael to the son who she had borne. Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore him Ishmael. Now keep in mind, Ishmael became the head of what later became the Middle East. So the Muslim religions and everything associated. So that's where that split. Abram is the father of both the Jewish religion, which then also morphed into Christianity, and the Muslim religions, one through Isaac, one through Ishmael. When Abram was 99 years old, this is chapter 17, when Ishmael was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. I will confirm my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers. Abram fell face down, and God said to him, as for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will now be called Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for generations to come, to be your God and your God and the God of your descendants after you. The whole land of Canaan, where you are now an alien, I will give you as an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you, and I will be their God. Then God said to Abraham, as for you, you must keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you, for the generations to come. This is my covenant with you and your descendants after you, the covenant you are to keep. Every male among you shall be circumcised. You are to undergo circumcision, and it will be a sign of the covenant between you and me. In the generations to come, every male among you who is 8 days old must be circumcised, including those born in your household or bought with money from your house, from a foreigner, those who are not your offspring. Whether born in your household or bought with your money, they must be circumcised. My covenant in your flesh is to be an everlasting covenant. Any uncircumcised male who is not being circumcised in the flesh will be cut off from his people, and he has broken my covenant. God also said to Abraham, as for your wife, Sarai, your wife, you are no longer to call her Sarai. She will be called Sarah. I will bless her I will surely give you a son by her. I will bless her so that she will be the mother of many nations. Kings of peoples will come from her. Abraham fell face down. He laughed and he said to himself, will a son be born to a man who is 100 years old? Will Sarai bear a child at the age of 90? And Abraham said to God, if only Ishmael might live under your blessing. Then God said, yes, but your wife Sarah will bear you a son, and you will call him Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for your descendants after him. As for Ishmael, I have heard you. I will surely bless him. I will make him fruitful and will greatly increase his numbers. He will be the father of 12 rulers, and I will make him into a great nation. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah will bear to you this time next year. Then when he had finished speaking with Abraham, God went up from him. On that very day, Abraham took his son Ishmael and all those born in his household, either brought with money, every male in his household, and circumcised them, just as God had told him. Abraham was 99 years old when he was circumcised, and his son Ishmael was 13. Abraham and his son Ishmael were both circumcised on that day, and every male in Abraham's household, including those born in his household, were bought from a foreigner, were circumcised with him. Chapter 18. The Lord appeared to Abraham near the great trees of Mamre while he was sitting at the entrance of his tent in the heat of the day. Abraham looked up and saw three men standing nearby. When he saw them, he hurried from the entrance to his tent to meet them, and he bowed low to the ground. He said, "If I have found favor in your eyes, my lord, do not pass your servant by. Let a little water be brought, and then you may wash your feet and rest under this tree. Let me get something for you to eat so you can be refreshed, and then go on your way, now that you have come to your servant." "Very well," they answered, "do as you say." So Abraham quickly and hurriedly went into the tent to Sarah. "Quick," he said, "get three saws of fine flour and knead it and bake some bread." Then he ran to the herd and selected a choice tender calf and gave it to his servant, who hurried to prepare it. He then brought some curds and milk and the calf that had been prepared and set it before them. While they ate, he stood near them under a tree where his wife Sarah. "Where is your wife Sarah?" they asked him. "There in the tent," he said. Then the Lord said, "I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son." Now Sarah was listening at the entrance of the tent, which was behind him. Abraham and Sarah were already old and very well advanced in years, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. So Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, "After I am worn out and my master is old, will I now have this pleasure?" Then the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh at us and say, 'Will I really have a child now that I'm old?' Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son." Sarah was afraid, so she lied down. Excuse me. Sarah was afraid, so she lied and said, "I did not laugh." But he said, "Yes, you did laugh." When the men got up to leave, they looked down towards Sodom, and Abraham walked along with them to see them on their way. Then the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do? Abraham will surely become a great and powerful nation, and all nations on earth will be blessed through him. For I have chosen him so that he will direct his children and his households after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just, so that the Lord will bring about for Abraham what he has promised him." Then the Lord said, "The outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is so great, and their sin is so grievous, that I will go down and see if what they have done is as bad as the outcry that has reached me. If not, I will know." The men turned away and went toward Sodom, but Abraham remained standing before the Lord. Then Abraham approached him and said, "Will you sweep away the righteous with the wicked? What if there are 50 righteous people in the city? Will you really sweep it away and not spare the place for the sake of the 50 righteous people in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to kill righteous with the wicked, treating the righteous and the wicked alike. Far be it from you. Will you not judge of all? Will not the judge of all the earth do right?" The Lord said, "If I find 50 righteous people in the city of Sodom, I will spare it for their sake." Then Abraham spoke up again, "Now that I have been so bold to speak to the Lord, though I am nothing but dust and ashes, what if the number of righteous is 5 less than 50? Will you destroy the whole city because of the 5 people?" "If I find 45 people there," he said, "I will not destroy it." Once again, Abraham spoke, "What if there are only 40 are found there?" And God said, "For the sake of the 40, I will not do it." Then he said, "May the Lord not be angry, but let me speak. What if only 30 can be found there?" He answered, I will not do it if I find 30 there." Abraham said, "Now that I have been so bold to speak to the Lord, what if only 20 can be found there?" He said, "For the sake of the 20, I will not destroy it." Then he said, "May the Lord not be angry, but let me speak just once more. What if only 10 could be found there?" He answered, "For the sake of the 10, I will not destroy it." When the Lord had finished speaking with Abraham, he left, and Abraham returned home. That's a great lesson for us, what Abraham just experienced with God. Here's God who looks at Abraham as a friend, right? Who looks at Abraham as righteous, and he shares with him his plan about Sodom and Gomorrah, that he's going to wipe it from the face of the earth because of what he's heard. And what he's heard is that there's been great sin, and Abraham makes some pleas, and you can look at that plea as a prayer. And he basically prayed to God and said, "Hey, you know, if I know you will do the right thing, you are God and you're the God of righteousness, and you'll do the right thing. But if there's 50 people, 50 righteous people, will you spare them?" And God kept on going. And then he said, "If I could be so bold." So I think what it teaches us from a prayer life is we should ask God for anything and everything. And it's okay for us to be bold, and it's okay for us to be persistent. And Abraham was both bold and persistent. And listen, we should also be looking and praying for God's will to be done. And when God's will is done and his will and our will are aligned, we will never be disappointed. But, you know, we learn here from Abraham that persistence and boldness in speaking to God is really, really important and necessary. And God likes it, right? God considered Abraham a friend. God considered Abraham righteous. And these are actions that Abraham took. I'm going to conclude there. That's the end of chapter 18. We will start with chapter 19 next week. And that's where we're going to kind of see Sodom and Gomorrah destroyed. But what I'd like to conclude with today is just some reflection. And we kind of talked about this a couple weeks ago when we first started Genesis. And in our prelude, it talked about God using ordinary people. You and I are ordinary people. And God can use us and will use us, just like he used Noah and Abraham. And here Abraham was a liar. Abraham lied to the Pharaoh, saying that Sarai at the time was his sister, not his wife. Now, technically, he was her half-sister, but he did not say that she's my wife, and he was fearful for his own life. So he didn't really believe God in the fact that his actions spoke differently, right? He lied to Pharaoh to spare his life. So God uses sinful people for great things. The difference between a person living in sin and people that sin, people that live in sin just continue to sin and sin and sin and sin, and every day is a sin. All people sin. But God's not looking for people to live in sin. God's looking for people to profess him as Lord and Savior, to profess Christ as the Savior of the world, and us having a need for him, to love him and to serve him. So we've run out of time for today's episode of Reflections. Be sure to listen to us next Sunday. We hope that you've enjoyed our program. My name is Jim DeJunis, reading to you today from the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Reflections is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. That's ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please give us a call, 919-832-5138, 919-832-5138. God bless you and those you love this day and every day.